excited. Here we go. So 2 weeks ago, because last week was Sherry was preaching, Pastor Sherry. And, you know, I love the mama sitting on the front row. I mean, you couldn't, it doesn't get any better when you watch your kids. Okay. But I'm back on. So 2 weeks ago, I started the series on heroes of faith. And who remembers the hero of faith that we talked about? Get the CD. Abraham. Okay, so we started with Abraham, and we really are looking at Old Testament guys, and there's some girls there too, by the way, Old Testament gang, that have their names written in Hebrews chapter 11, the hallmark of faith, the hall of fame of faith, okay? And why are they written in the New Testament? So we're going to go look at their stories from the Old Testament and see why they're called great men and women of faith. And it also says, especially with Abraham, we're to follow Abraham's faith. Well, if you don't know what he did, you're not going to be able to follow. So we're going to go. So we looked at Abraham. And the neat thing about Abraham, when we looked at him and his life, we found out that Abraham had faith in words that God spoke, and he O-B-E-Y. He obeyed, you know. And we also found out that we have to obey. When God speaks to us through the word or through the still small voice, when he speaks to us, we have to obey, and that's part of our faith walk. So today we're going to look at the Bible hero of faith. We're going to look at the life of David. Okay, anybody know anything about David? David and Bathsheba, David the king of Israel, David actually a mighty warrior, all right? And David who led Israel through many battles as a warrior king, all right? So we're going to look at David. And we're going to talk about his story in the Old Testament and how we take that into our life. Because, you know, stories are great. And you can read stories. You can read stories. You can go to the movies and all that stuff and stuff. But what do I do with it? So we're going to talk about him. David is written in Hebrews 11. Hebrews 11 doesn't give you the whole fluffy story of David, but it mentions his name. And he is called one of the great faith heroes, David. So we're going to look at him. Last time, let me just get you up to speed so you can jump on the train with us. Last time we said, because we're going to talk about faith, we said that God is love and God is faith. And God does things by faith. And God gives you his faith. And I went around and I started slapping name tags. This is God's faith. And in Romans 12, they should know that, 3. He has given to every man, and that every man means every believer. He has given to every believer, and I started passing these out. Did Frank get his last week? Yeah. You did? Pass it down the row then. Did you get your faith? Okay. So I started passing these out, and I put one up on top on me too. So to everyone, you have been given whose faith? God's faith. Listen, my faith, you don't want to bet on that. But God's faith is pretty incredible. So God has given everybody faith. And as one pastor said, you know, when you go, well, I don't have enough faith to do that. He said, man, it's like spitting in God's face. What do you mean you don't have enough God faith? Yes, you do. Yes, you do. So to everyone, God has given the measure of faith. So y'all have faith. In our series, we're going to talk about our faith and how to apply it to our life. Our faith, the faith of God, how to apply it to our life. Now, when I talk about faith, I'm not talking about I'm a Methodist or I'm a Baptist, okay, or I'm a Pentecostal. I'm not talking about that. I'm talking about the faith that God has given us and that he's put into our life. We're going to talk about the faith that God's put into our life and how we apply it in every day. Okay, so last time again we looked at Abraham, and let's see, we looked at Abraham, and today as we look at David, and even if you read every single one of those guys and gals that are in Hebrews 11, what cracked me up and I love so much is they were all human. Raise your hand if you're human today. Raise your hand if you're not perfect. Every single one of them that made it into Hebrews 11 were human, not perfect. They made big mistakes, and yet God used them. Thank you. Okay? Isn't that wonderful? So God wants to use you because you are human. If you're breathing today, you're human. You are imperfect, and God still wants to use you. He still's going to use you, just like he did all these guys over there. Aren't you thankful? And I was thinking, listen, if God was going to ask me to be pastor because I'm perfect, I wouldn't get the job. All right. God picked me because I'm telling you, he knew how much I didn't know. And God picks you because he loves you. He's placed faith in you, and he knows you're not perfect, but he wants to use you. He wants to use you to do great things for him. Now, the great thing about David, I think he's probably the one that muffed it up the biggest. I mean, big time. Even I knew what David did was bad. All right. So let me give you a brief story about one of David's very imperfect David about something that he did. One day David is back at the palace. He's back at the palace and he's walking around at night, probably slept all day and did video games. And now he's up half the night, okay? And he's walking around the top of the palace and he's looking around and he goes, ooh, there's a lady out there taking a bath and she's naked. Whoa. Okay, now what he should have done is, oh, okay, let's go this way. Don't look anymore, okay? But David didn't do that, all right? David didn't do that. And he started to think, gee, I wonder who she is. I wonder who her husband is. I wonder if I could kill her husband. Now, I'm giving you the short version, okay? So you can read up on it. And so he goes and has hanky-panky with her, and she gets pregnant. And she comes and tells David, you know, when that night, you know, da-da-da-da-da. And he's like, oh, okay, oh, wow, okay. And what he does is he tells the captain of his army, he said, okay, let's see if I can lie my way out of this one. Yeah, pretty imperfect guy. Lie my way out of this. He says, go get, her name, by the way, is Bathsheba, in case you didn't know that. Go get Bathsheba's husband, who's an army man. He's out with the army of Israel fighting. And by the way, where do you think the king was supposed to be? He was supposed to be there. He is not walking in his anointing right then. He is playing Nintendo or something here and looking at women. All right, so David tells the captain, he says, go get Bathsheba's husband, her name is Uriah, and tell him to come home for a weekend leave. And then, you know, because, you know, if you've been away on the army field and you had a weekend leave, you're going to go have fun with your wife. So he's like, yeah, if that happens, then, wow, this will just start straighten out this whole mess and I won't know and she won't, they won't know and all that stuff. Only thing David didn't know is that Uriah, Bathsheba's husband, is such an honorable man. He honors his king and his country. And he is not, I'm an army guy and all my men are out in the field sleeping in tents and you want me to go and no. And what he does is he lays down before the door of David's room in the palace with all the servants to show that he honors this God, this king and this kingdom. And he wouldn't do it. So David gets up the next morning and is like, what are you doing here? You're supposed to be with your wife so I can get out of this mess. So then David starts cooking again. Okay, how can I lie upon a lie upon a lie? And how can I can do that? And he says, okay, so he invites Uriah in. He thought, well, I'll just give him a whole bunch of food and drink and get him drunk, and then he'll stagger home to his wife, and that'll take care of it. Here's Uriah, this honorable man. And what does he do that night? He lays down in front of the palace gates, or the door there, and with all the servants, and would not go home. David's like, man, what am I going to do? So Uriah does go back, and David gets a note, and he sends it to the captain. And he says, okay, a lie upon a lie upon a lie. This is like the third one. He says, listen, I want you to put Uriah on the front lines, the front line where all the fierce battle is going on. That's pretty bad too. But then I want you to pull everybody back. Now he's going to be up there. He's not going to just pull everybody back so that therefore he'll get killed. So what does David actually do? He has this guy murdered. Okay? Yeah. Now, The crazy thing about this is God says in his word that David's like the apple of his eye, the favor, the guy who is anointed the most. Okay, wait a minute. Now let me put some correction. God did not approve of the murder at all. Never does, never will. But God looked at David's heart, and David ended up by repenting, turning his life around. And David was a worshiper, by the way. David was a worshiper. So God was going to look at the heart even after, everybody say, even after, big mistake. Has anybody ever made some bad choices? Okay. I have just a couple. All right. And I've done them. And, did David really make a really bad choice? Oh my gosh, that was bad. And it got worse. And then it got worser. All right. Yet God was going to use David, and God's going to use you. So don't go looking at your past, and anybody likes to shove it in your face, say, oh no, don't even mess with that. I'm forgiven. I'm going forward. So today, that was my little story. So today we're going to look at how to walk in faith. And one of the most important things about walking in faith or living a life of faith is that we're going to look at words. Everybody say words. We're going to look at words that come out of your mouth. Oh, no. Oh, no. Yeah, oh, no. So we're going to look at words that come out of our mouth. And we're actually, if I had to title this, I was like, I change the title every 5 minutes. What are you going to call this message, Pastor D? First, I was like, Hero of Faith, David. I'm like, that's pretty generic. Oh, I know. I should call it The War of Words. So if you like that title, write it down, because you're taking notes, because you're good. Here we go. So we're going to talk about the War of Words that David's going to go encounter. And actually, we all have war, W-A-R, of words, W-O-R-D-S, in our life. Every single day, you have wars of words that go on. All right. So how many of you remember as a kid, sticks and stones will, but names or words will never hurt me? Lie. Found out that's a lie. All right. That is a lie, okay? And words do hurt. Has anybody been hurt by somebody's words? I can always tell when you get hurt with someone's words. Well, first off, you get offended. Then you don't look me in the eye. And then I sleep on the edge of the bed when I was married, okay? That's when I knew somebody's words hurt me, okay? Would you open up to Matthew 12? Carol's going to pop this up. This is the Amplified. Matthew 12, verse 36. Oh, Pastor D, you're one of those that talk about words. Well, I want to tell you, Jesus had a lot to say about words. And I want to tell you, he was tough. This scripture's tough, okay? And it's really powerful. Here we go. But I tell you, on the day of judgment, men will have to give account for every idle, inoperative, non-working word that comes out of their mouth that they speak. For by your words you will be justified and acquitted, and by your words you will be condemned and sentenced. Okay, I think that's words are kind of important. Okay, words are kind of important. They are. All right. I was on Facebook. Yeah, I was supposed to be doing something else. I was on Facebook, and I was reading this mom's post, and I read it first, and I was like, what? Okay, so this mom wrote, I read it first. Oh, my little 2-3-year-old or something like that, she can sing her ABCs and count to 10. And I kind of blurped by the first part, but you know what this mom wrote? And Facebook is actually words, isn't it? Okay, this is what this mom wrote. My little girl is so rotten. I was like, and then she's going, she can count to 10 and do her ABCs. I'm like, what? You ought not to say that. Okay, well, those are words. And when you look at your marriage and you look at your spouse, it's really important to say positive things about them. Positive things. Guys, especially not just 10 minutes before you want to go to bed that night, these nice words to your wife. You need to be saying them all the time. Build them up. Okay, same with your wives, okay? So what I'm talking about today is a Bible principle. Words are a Bible principle, okay? And the words that you say out of your mouth actually can create an atmosphere around you, in your home, in your marriage. Words can create an atmosphere around you because words speak. Okay, words speak. So if you're writing, taking notes, write down that words speak. All right. And by the way, you have been placed in this planet to communicate with words. I mean, I do some sign language sometime when I'm driving. Okay. But that's not good. But God has given you words. All right. And God actually used words. And you all know Genesis 1, God used words to create. He said, light be, and boom, light was. And stars be, and stars were. And he goes and he creates with words. All right. So it goes back to God. He's creating with words. All right. So here's my challenge for you. What are you saying with your words? What are you saying with your words, to people around you? All right. So how many of you know we communicate with words, especially this generation? It just befuddles me some days. They got Twitter, blogs, text messaging, Facebook, and I don't even know what half of those things are, okay? But it all has to do with communication. We are in a generation that is just big on words, all righty? And by the way, how many of you parents have ever checked out your kids' Facebook page? Those are words. Yeah, smart mom. Okay, I used to sneak in and because one of my kids went through some dark days, years, and I'd sneak in and grab her cell phone. I'd read that text message. So on a real serious, sad note, but, you know, don't be surprised if you haven't read their words. And you might be surprised. You should read the words. Because all's fair in love and war, and I'm a parent. You get a free card to do that because you're going to be a parent. You do that. Okay. All right, that was off the track. Here we go. Today, we're going to talk about the story of David and Goliath and how David came against Goliath. We're going to talk about how David came against Goliath, and we're going to talk about the words that came out of Goliath's mouth and then the words that David said out of his mouth, because there's this battle of words that went on. All right? Now, I've preached David and Goliath every year down in children's ministry, and I think last year I did it up here on Covenant. But I want you to hear this story, and I want you to just focus that this story is about a battle of words and how it's going to help you in your life, okay? So turn over to 1 Samuel 17. We're going to be there. Verses 1 through 47, but I'm going to give you the Cliff Notes version so we don't do all this reading. Anybody ever buy Cliff Notes in high school and college? Oh, yes. They were tremendous. So you have to read those big old books. Yep. Especially when we were doing, oh, my gosh, Shakespeare. Oh, gosh. All right. 1 Samuel 17. Let me give you the Cliff Notes. We have Goliath. Goliath, the historians say, was over 9 feet tall. Mikey, little Mikey, how tall is he? 6'5" and a half. Okay, so he was little Mikey, and I still have a hard time not calling him little Mikey, but all of a sudden, you're looking up. Now, to me, he's a giant. Okay? But he's not. Goliath was a giant, 9 feet, 9 feet, 9 inches, and over 9 feet tall, okay? And Goliath had armor. He's an army man. He has armor, and it says his armor weighed over 125 pounds. That's like lifting a person up, okay? His army was a person on top. I mean, his armor was like a person on top of him. And then it says his sword weighed 25 pounds. Okay, some of you are going, 25 pounds, that's nothing. Well, try taking a barbell and swinging around for an hour. All right? So 25 pounds is a lot. All right, especially for me, I have 3-pound barbells that collect dust in my house. So here we have Goliath, who's a giant, and David's not. David's an average-sized guy. Now, when you read in the Bible, it says boy, but the historians say he's a young teen, like 17 years old. And he's average, average. And how tall is Goliath? Over 9 feet tall. And it also says about Goliath is that he was a warrior since his youth. Okay, and he's older, because Goliath's about 17 years old. He's older than David's 17 years old, and Goliath is older. So David's going up against a giant who's an experienced warrior, okay? And here's David. All right, so this is what our story is here. Now, part of the crazy part about this story is you have all of the Israel army up here on this side of the mountain. You've got all of the Philistine army up here, and there's this valley in between where they're supposed to go down and, you know, go fight. And every day over here, the Philistine camps, every day they'd all line up. All the Philistines would line up. They'd get ready for battle, and all the Israelites, the armies, would line up over here, and they get ready for battle. And every day, twice a day, Goliath the giant would lead the pack, and he would start calling out, "You guys are a bunch of shrimps." Okay, decaf version, all right? "You guys, you know, you can't beat us. I'm going to beat you, and I'm going to feed your carcasses to the birds of the air. And then if I beat you, you're going to serve me." And he says it really good, too. But that's my version. So every day, Goliath the giant would come and shout and actually taunt, and taunt the army of Israel over here. And you know what the Israel army did every day? Every time they hear that, they would run scared in their tents and hide. All right. All because of one guy. One guy. All right. Now, here we have David, and David really is 17 years old. He's actually a shepherd for his dad. He's a shepherd, and he's out hanging out with the sheep, all right? And he's hanging out with sheep, and one day his dad says, "Hey, David, I want you to take this food, and I want you to take this more provisions, and I want you to go take it to where the battle is, where your three older brothers are. Give the food to them and give some to the army. And I want you to find out the good report on what's going on and come back and tell me what happens." All right. Because, you know, we're parents. We always believe in the best here. All right. So David gets there just as the giant comes out with all the army behind him. And here's the Israelite army all lined up. And here comes David, and he passes the food on, and he comes out, and he sees the giant, and he hears the giant for the very first time. And he said, and the giant's going, "I defy the armies of God," or Israel. "See if you can take me down, because if not, you're going to be taken down, and you're going to be my servants, and we're going to feed your carcasses to the birds," blah, 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 blah. Okay, David comes exactly at that time, and he sees this giant, and he hears this giant, and something rose up in his heart. Something happened to David when he saw the giant and he heard the giant. Okay, now, instant replay. What happened every time the Israel army saw the giant and heard the giant? They ran undercover. Okay, I bet you they had more desertions going on, all right? But David, something rose up in his heart when the very first time he saw it and he heard the giant. And he said, "Heck no! I will not fear the giant, and I will not be overtaken by this giant. No!" Okay, now this is interesting. This is a kid! This is a kid! And watch, and that was his reaction, okay? Have we started to read? Okay, those are my cliff notes. Hop on verse 23. Verse 23 through 25. I'm reading out of the NIV. "As he was talking with them, Goliath, the Philistine champion from Gath, stepped out from his lines and shouted his usual defiance, and David heard it. When the Israelites saw the man, they ran from him in great fear." Verse 25. "Now the Israelites had been saying, 'Do you see this man? Do you see how this man keeps coming out? He comes out to defy Israel.' The king will give great wealth to the man who kills him. He will also give him his daughter in marriage. He will be exempt his father from family taxes. Okay, gets wealth, the daughter, and he doesn't have to pay taxes. Now, you would think somebody in your family should have raised their hand. Probably Susan and Shirley were going, Brenton, raise your hand. We don't have to pay taxes anymore. Right? And nobody volunteered to go after the giant, to kill the giant. Even with, you get the babe, you get wealth, and you don't have to pay taxes. And after April 15th, you would have thought somebody would have done that. Okay, skip on down. Here we go. Verse 26. David asked the men standing near him, what will be done for the man who kills the Philistine and removes this disgrace from Israel? Who is this uncircumcised Philistine that he should defy the armies of the living God? Now remember, David's not a big guy and Goliath is a giant. Okay, and he's saying this, all right? Let's see. Did I read verse 37? I got lost here. Okay, 27. Let's do 27. Then they repeated what they had said, saying him, and this is what will be done for the man, da 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 da. Okay. Jump down to verse 31, would you please? 31. David said what David said. Now, David's talking to his brothers, and he's talking to everybody he meets, okay? And he's getting this information, and he's not only getting the information, oh, I get the woman, I get the wealth, I get the taxes, but what David's getting also, he is saying all the time, hey, who is this giant, this uncircumcised yuck that's defying the armies of the living God? Okay, so David says, verse 31, what David said was overheard and reported to Saul. Saul's the king, and Saul sent for David. All right, have you been ever called into the principal's office? Okay, okay, so he's getting called in, all righty. David said, these are words, guys. David said, let no one lose heart on account of this Philistine. Your servant will go and fight him. I love it. And now, that was the first set of words. Now listen to the battle of words on what Saul's going to say. Okay, Saul said, you're not able to go out against this Philistine and fight him. You're only a boy. And he's been a fighting man from his youth. So I think, you know, so David kind of comes in and he's kind of like overboard. Well, you know, king, the king's probably thinking, you know, this is just a kid. And David's like, no, I can take him down. King, hear my words. I can take him down. All right. So now imagine if you're the king, you're King Saul. By the way, King Saul got picked to be king because he was a head taller than all the rest. All right, Bob, you could have been king. Who are my big guys? All right, yeah, you probably are taller than all the rest. Talk about a resume picker here. Okay, so King Saul, who's a head taller than everybody else, and this guy, this young teen, who's probably just average. By the time he hits 17, you've kind of hit your, you know, your growth spurt, right? Okay, he comes in, and little David, compared to King Saul, comes in and he goes, hey, king. Don't worry about this. I can take him down. King, I can take him down. All right. Now, the king's probably thinking, you're just a boy. You're not even a warrior. What, you got superpowers and you've got the X-Men on your side or something like that? What do you know? Okay. So, the king's probably going, okay, verse 33. Saul replied again. Let's say it again. You are not able to go against the Philistine and fight him, for you're just a boy. And here's David's words. I love it. So we've got words. You got a war of words going on. Saul's doing negative. No way, right? Listen to David. Listen to the battle of David's words. Here we go. But David said to Saul, "Your servant has been keeping his father's sheep when a lion and a bear come and carry off a sheep from the flock. I went after it and struck it and rescued the sheep from the mouth. It turned on me and I seized it by the hair and I struck it and killed it." Okay. Wow. Wow. All right. And, has anybody ever seen a bear in the wild? I did one. It was just kind of a small one. But has anybody gone to the zoo where they have big lions and big bears? Okay. I've seen them there in the zoo, and they're huge. And I would, even if I had a gun, I would run the other way because I am smarter than a fifth grader. Okay? But David said he went after the lion and the bear. All right. And then this is great. Verse 30, where am I? 36. "Your servant has killed both the lion and the bear. This uncircumcised Philistine will be like one of them because he has defied the armies of the living God." And then 37. "The Lord who delivered me from the paw of the lion and the paw of the bear will deliver me from the hand of the Philistines." Okay. Did you see a war of words going on? We got David. Well, we got Goliath first, and he's spouting off his words. And then you got David, and he is speaking words. And then you got Saul. I'm sorry, Saul, you're on this side, and you're speaking words. And then you got David. He comes at it again with words. All right? But did you notice the last thing that David said? My God, or the God of "The Lord who delivered me from the paw of the lion and the paw of the bear will deliver me from the hand of the Philistine." Who delivered David? The Lord. You know, I used to read this and actually used to act it out, and I just kind of envisioned all of a sudden Popeye muscles hit David, and he grabs him by the hair and he swings him and he throws him. Okay, just kid stuff. But then I read this again. It said the Lord delivered him. The Lord delivered him. That's why David could say, "King, I can take him down. The Lord who delivered me then will deliver me again. The Lord who delivered me then can deliver me again. My God." All right, now, that's a battle of words going on here. All righty? Now, how many of you have some battles going on in your life? I would say, if I could raise everything, I would. Okay, what did David do when this battle? He started throwing words out there. And then he said, "King, the Lord will deliver me." Okay, he has got some right words coming out of his mouth, doesn't he? He's got the right words coming out of his mouth. Okay, so Saul said to David, "Go and the Lord be with you." I was like, I could just see him patting him on the back. "Okay, kiddo, you think you can do it? Go ahead. It's not gonna bother one hair on my head, you know, but if you think you can do it, go ahead." All right. And then verse 37, "Then Saul dressed David in his own tunic, put a coat of armor on him, a bronze helmet on him. David fastened on the sword over his tunic and tried walking around because he was not used to them." And he said, this is what David said, he said, "I cannot go in these things," he says this to Saul, "because I'm not used to them," and he took them off. All right. So he's basically saying, listen, this is not going to work. Your way is not going to work. The Lord who has delivered me from the lion and the bear, the Lord's going to deliver me. Your armor, your sword's not going to work. All right? All righty. So let's jump down to verse 40 here. "Then he took his staff." Okay, this is David. I love it. "David took his staff and his sling, and he bends down. He gets five little stones, puts it in his little pocket there, and he starts approaching the Philistine. Meanwhile, the Philistine and his shield bearer in front of him kept coming closer, kept coming closer to David. And he looked at David over, he said, he's looking and goes, oh my gosh, this is just a little boy, a ruddy, handsome boy. And he despised him. He was like, I am the giant and you're sending a boy? And he despised him. And he said, listen, hear these words. Hear the words of Goliath. Am I a dog that you come at me with sticks? Remember the old sticks and stones? I'm pretty sure Goliath wasn't worried about this stick going to hurt him, right? And the Philistine cursed David by his God. And he said, come here. And he said, I'll give your flesh to the birds of the air and the beast of the field. And David said to the Philistine, next battle of words. So all of that was battle of words, battle of words, battle of words. Here comes David, battle of words. You come against me with a sword and a spear and a javelin, but I come against you in the name of Almighty, the God of the armies of Israel, who you have defied this day. This day the Lord will hand you over. And he goes on, he goes on. Okay. Now, let me ask you a question. Have you ever gotten a bad report from a doctor? Has any family member ever gotten a bad report from a doctor? Just at December, I went to have my yearly mammogram, and they come out with a bad report. I was like, first off, tomorrow's Christmas. I don't have time for this. Okay, no, I did more than that. All right, now, a lot of times when you get that bad report, what's the first thing that happens? You get that sinking feeling in your gut. Am I the only person that got honest here? You ever get one of those? Because somebody says, you know, so-and-so has this. And you get this sinking feeling. By the way, I just started speaking. Heck no! My body is the temple of the living God. There is life in here. And I curse every cell that is perverted, commanded to die in Jesus' name. So they call you back in the back room, which always is a dark room. Isn't that crazy? They don't believe in lights. So I'm sitting in that room, and then they go test you again, and then they sit you back in the room, and you're waiting, and they come in. Well, Mrs. Cashman, I don't understand. It seems to be everything's okay. Come back in 6 months. I'm like, yeah, right. But listen, I went at it with words. Okay. So what I want to show you today is that everybody goes through stuff, and I hate to be the bearer of this, but you're all going to go through battles, okay? You are not little cream puffs anymore. You're going to go through battles, everybody, every single day sometimes, all right? But so bad things are going to come flying at you, but it's what you do in them. What you do in them, and more importantly, what you say in those battles. What you say in those battles, all right? So real quick, I'm going to wrap this up in about 10 minutes here. If you're taking notes, I want to give you four things that are going to be in every battle that we saw in David, okay? There were four things that happened in David's battle, and I'm going to say praise the Lord. I'm going to give you four things that you will see in every battle you face. Every battle you face, you're going to see these things, and it's what you say and what you do that will either lift you up or keep you in defeat. Okay, number one, four things that are going to be there in your battles. Number one, you're going to have someone or something screaming at you daily. Now, I'm not talking about your wife right now, be nice. Okay, but if that's the case, you're going to have someone or something screaming at you daily. Now, back in our story, who is daily screaming at the army of Israel? Goliath. Okay? So Goliath, every day, twice a day, was screaming. Alrighty? Now, how many of you woke up this morning and your body was talking to you? I am tired. Don't open your eye. Hit the button. Knock the thing off. Okay? Was your body talking to you? How many of you had your body and you're walking up the stairs and you're walking down your stairs and your knee starts talking to you? Ouchie, 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 ouchie. Wish I could fly. All right. All right. So your body talks to you, right? It does. All right. Now, how many of you found out that when I was younger, it talked a lot less to me. Now I am mature and it talks a lot to me. All righty. Now it's just a little thing. So write this down. Your body talks. Okay. But what are you saying to your body? What are you saying to your body? So every single day, there are going to be things that are talk to you. If your finances are in a mess, because sometimes we do that, just happens, or sometimes you did it. But if your finances are in a mess, when you wake up in the morning, guess what? Probably your finances, your checkbook is going to be talking to you. It does. It talks to you, right? Now, Jesus had this happen to him. And this is how he handled it. One day he's walking down the road with his disciples and he sees this fig tree far off and he goes up to the fig tree and he goes, oh, figs. I love figs. Oh, I can't wait to have a fig. Oh. And he gets to the fig tree and there are no figs on the tree. And Jesus says words out of his mouth to the fig tree, doesn't he? Anybody know this story? Okay. Thank you. All right. So he says, what does he say? No one's ever going to eat figs from this tree. And he curses it and it dies. Okay. Jesus said something to a tree. Jesus had some words that came out of his mouth. All right. So if Jesus does it, you guys got to do it. All right. Now, the words, what did they do? They caused that tree to die. So if Jesus is saying things with his words, if the Bible's telling you you need to say some words, and if David and Goliath had a lot of words going on, guess what? You need to have some words going out of your mouth. You have to have words going out of your mouth because things are screaming at you. All right? Now, so you're going to have to use words. You're going to have to use words. Now, if I hear one person say, I'm just a quiet person. Okay, splat, you're going to be on the floor. All right? You are not a quiet person, all right? You got a big God inside of you. And when you hit your giant, your battles, your problems, your screaming knee, you need to have words coming out of your mouth to be an overcomer. Jesus did it. God did it. David did it. You need to do it, all right? Number two. Someone is going to try to get you to do it the way they did it. I'm looking at Beth and we're like, oh yeah, we could tell you stories, okay? Such as Saul, King Saul, tried to get David to do it his way, the way he did it. Tried to dress him in the armor. And David says, no, that is not right. That's not the way I'm going to do it. Okay, do you remember in Acts chapter 2 on the day of Pentecost, they were all in the upper room and the Holy Spirit came in like a rushing mighty wind. Okay. And they tarried up there. Okay. People will try to tell you, if you would like to read the Holy Spirit, you have to tarry and there's going to be this noise that comes through. Not. They're trying to tell you how to do things old ways. Not. I remember one day I was praying for Jack. We weren't married. And he called me up. He goes, I'm going to flunk this test. This is the second time I take this course. And I'm like, we got to get married. You got to pass and get out of here. So I started praying with all the guts I had, with all the words I had, which, by the way, I think I had a Bible finally at that point. And I think I knew Matthew, Mark, Luke, and I figured out there's another guy, John. I mean, I didn't know nothing. And I just was praying, oh God, you got to help. And next thing I know, God, I cannot pray anymore. God, I need more. And I got filled with the Holy Spirit, began to speak in other language. Okay. Now, if somebody was around me, oh no, Pastor D, you have to go tarry, go sit around because there's going to be a wind, mighty wind that sound's going to come in. No. Okay. So people try to tell you things, but you just have to hear God. The way he does it. Okay. Listen, we do church a lot different now than we did 15, 20 years ago. All right. The Bible doesn't change. The message doesn't change. But we change to follow after God. So David was going to hear God. Hey, you don't need that sword. You don't need that armor. You have me. Go do it my way. All right. Now, the day you got married and the minister said, I now pronounce you man and wife. Kiss the bride. Guess what? 15 years later, your marriage changes. Man, I can hear a pin drop here. Okay? Because you changed. You have 2.3 kids, okay, a mortgage, car loans, okay. You change. Life changes. And unless you change your words on how you do your marriage, because I hear this all the time, Pastor D, gosh, we have nothing in common anymore. We just never communicate. I don't understand what they're saying. You know, it doesn't seem like we love each other anymore. That's because change. It changes. And you need to change your words and your marriage. All right? So I love when they say, especially the wife, my husband's such a pig. He walks in the door and he drops things here and he drops things there. And I'm forever cleaning up. And but the guys at work, oh my gosh, the guys at work. All right? Or the lady, that was the wife complaining about the husband. And then the wife, what am I saying? Okay. I love this one here. The guys say, you know, my wife is such a grouch. Matter of fact, she's beginning to look like Oscar the Grouch. I'm telling you, Pastor D. Okay. First off, no woman would have married you and stayed home with four kids and cook you every hot meal. Okay. And those, that receptionist, oh, but Pastor D, we have the cutest little receptionist. She always all dialed up and she talks to me and laughs at everything I say every day. You know, but my wife is such a grouch. Okay. First off, that little sweet thing receptionist doesn't roll out of bed looking like that. Probably takes hours to look like that when she rolls into work. Okay. And she didn't have some kids spit up on her, but when she rolled in either. Alrighty. She probably had to have 2 cups of coffee or more, or that killer Starbucks stuff to kickstart her engine till she sat at her desk and go, good morning, Mr. Benny. How are you today? Oh, what's going on? Oh, you look really okay. Your marriage changes. Okay, guys. And what you did yesterday, I do kiss your bride. You are going to have to make changes and change the words out of your mouth about your spouse. Instead of saying, man, she looks like Oscar the Grouch. She looks like, a tornado. My wife, you're the prettiest thing. And I just love you. Okay. Jack used to say this, Dee, you're just so beautiful. I'm like, would you put your glasses on? I got up in pajamas. It's 6 o'clock and I'm still in pajamas and I'm chasing kids. I have mopped the floor because they spilled apple juice 25 times. And he would speak words. And by the way, when I got married, I weighed 118 pounds. I ain't 118 pounds. That's my fantasy weight. And when I was having babies, I'd pack on 50 pounds per baby. One over here. I just was huge. And he would say, but Dee, you are so beautiful. I just love you. Love your hair. I'm like, don't even touch it. I don't know when I washed it. All right. He was really good at speaking words and changed marriage. It was real easy to say, I love you when you're 118 pounds and you don't have any kids and life's just being, you just spend every day rolling in the sack. Okay, it was easy. Then life hit. Okay. Too much information. Alrighty. Number 3. Okay. If you want your marriage to work, you are going to have words. You're going to have to start speaking right words. Right words. All right. To your mate. Number 3. You're going to have to do something when no one is watching. I love this one. You're going to have to do something when no one's watching. Okay, now David was just this little shepherd boy, and he's out in the field killing lions and tigers and bears and all that stuff, okay? That was kind of his normal job, just normal watching sheep. Okay, now, you're not supposed to, but we do anyway. How many of you have a favorite minister or a TV minister? I don't know if it's Creflo or Joyce or Joel, whatever yours are. I have some favorites. Okay, but did you know one day they just didn't fill the giant Hershey Stadium? Bing! All right. You know what? Long time ago, they became passionate about the Lord Jesus. They became passionate about the Word. They couldn't get enough Word. They couldn't get enough time in the Word of God. I remember saying this to Jack. I finally had to say, when we sit down to eat, you can't have a Bible at the table. You're thinking, Pastor D, what do you care? I said, because he would just read the Bible all the time. And I'm like, I need some time with you. Okay, that was somebody whose life behind the scenes, way before he was even Pastor Jack, was passionate, okay? Passionate. So those are the things you do, the normal things you do. By the way, David was doing that stuff before he was famous, before he was the king, all right? David was doing preparation, all right? How many of you played sports? Sports in high school, sports in college. Okay, do you know what preseason practice is? Preseason practice. Drills, weight room. Drills, weight room. Drills, weight room. And I remember this with Cassie because she's my only one that was coordinated to play sports. The rest of us, we just were smart and red and stuff. So it cracked us up. What? You want to play sports? Are you kidding me? So preseason for track, I think that was her first season or field hockey, I don't know. But she said, Mom, she rolled into the van after first preseason practice. I mean, I opened the door and this body she was like trying to get the legs up. They were just schmutz. And she goes, Mom, you see those stairs? So the practice field was in tiers. Level one, level two, level three. And they had stairs and stairs. My Spring Grove bunch, that school down there, the middle school, and stairs. She said, Mom, we had to go up and down those stairs, up and down those stairs, up and down. That was drills. Up and down the stairs, up and down the stairs. Okay, that's all preseason. All righty? That's preseason. And then Friday Night Lights, ta-da, come. Preseason is all about preparing for Friday Night Lights. Ta-da! Okay. And you do not want somebody on your team to come and goes, man, I haven't practiced in a year. I haven't lifted a weight in all season. And he's coming on Friday Night Lights? No. All right. So David, the things David did were the practice so that he would be the overcomer with Goliath. So, okay, so how does that work in your life? You will all have battles. Some of you are already in the battle. You've been in the battle and you're in the battle, okay? And your practice preseason is this. This is vital. This Bible is vital. These are the words that unless you hide them in your heart, when you hit the battle, if you don't hide them in your heart and you hit the battle, nothing good is going to come out. You're going to get into fear. You're going to say, oh, bad things, bad things, bad things. Okay. But you read this and it has become your lifeline. It is your, the bread of life, the, you know, all that stuff the Bible says. You read this and you meditate on this and you speak it out and every day, every day, every day. And then when that big stinking giant battle hits you, you're going to start speaking the words that will bring you through an overcomer. How many of you have seen that happen in your life? I know you. You guys, okay. All righty. So, preparation in private. Hallelujah. Because you want words to come out, words that will make you an overcome. Last one. When you come face to face with your giant. I love this one. When you come, by the way, you will come face to face with a giant. They are talking. Did you hear Goliath talking all the time, talking all the time? Goliath was talking. So when you come face to face with your giant, it's going to be talking. Ouch. Ah! All right. It's going to be talking, but you have to have your mouth open and you need to be saying things. So there is an author that I really like. I've never heard him in person. I don't think I have. His name is Mark Hankins, and I think I might have mentioned before. Just a great pastor. He's pastoring longer than I have. He is a spitfire. And he wrote a book called Champions of Faith. And he wrote this, and it just brings it home. He said, never run at your giant with your mouth closed. Okay? Why? Because Mark 11:23 says, whoever shall say to the mountain, to the problem, to the giant, to the knee, to the foot, to your heart, okay? You have to be saying something to have an overcoming life. So write this down. I love it. You never run at your giant with your mouth closed, because you are going to be splat. You will, all right? You have to have words coming out of your mouth. All righty. Now, so I was hanging out with some people. Good, they're not here today. Good, I can say this. I was hanging out with some people today, 2 weeks ago, and this friend of mine has a nephew. And because of this divorce and remarriage and just a whole mess that was going on in their life, their son has just been running wild. I mean, and he's only 10 years old. And he's got a mouth that, it was horrible, okay? And my friend's relative, who's a police officer, she says, listen, you mark my words, that kid's going to be in jail before he's 18. Did you hear words out of someone's mouth? And my friend was like, yeah, he's going to end up in jail before he's 18. I was like, what? Did you hear their words? Or you can say, in the name of Jesus, my children will serve the Lord. My children are mighty men and women of God. Okay, you can say those words. Right? And you know, it's really easy to get sucked down on listening to what everybody's saying. But you have to have some words coming out of your mouth. Okay? How about anybody have a mountain of sickness on their body? You can be telling everybody everything about your body. You can go through, you know, back in 1865, they did this. And then, you know, in 1947, they did this to my body. And you can go, and you can just tell. And those are, it's okay. Because sometimes I'll say, well, tell me what's going on, short version, so I can say, all right? So you need to start saying to your body, body, I command this pain. This body was created to serve the Lord. And by the way, I can't serve the Lord if this is going on. So this body is created to serve the Lord. This is the temple of the Holy Ghost. This is the temple where the Zoe power of God is moving. And I declare that my body is healed and whole. And I'm just going to lift my hands and praise the Lord. I'm going to say those things. All right. Now, okay, just so you don't get goofy on me, I still take medicine. All right. Okay. Guess what I have on my nose? Because I couldn't read that thing, all right? And every once in a while I get in the groove going, oh, that's right, I got to speak to those eyes of mine, all right? And I start saying these things, all right? So you're not flakes. Be balanced, okay? Don't go doing stuff like that, all right? Quick testimony. Sherry and I were so blessed on Thursday and Friday. I didn't go Saturday morning to go to Rhema Ministers Ladies Conference. Just ladies. And one of the ladies gave her testimony. And actually, she was our guest speaker. We had her husband, Clifton Martin, an African-American couple, 2 years ago. And their wife, Stacy, she got up and gave the testimony. And I did not know all that had happened. But 2 years ago, she is a nurse. She works in a huge hospital in Philadelphia. And she got up, felt fine. She's been feeling fine. But the Lord had told her a month ahead of time, I want you to spend time in prayer. And so I was like, well, big deal. Because I know Stacy. She prays. I call Stacy up for everything. Stacy, pray about this. She's a prayer. But the Lord says, I want you to double up. I want you to pray. I want you to just pray in the Holy Spirit. Just pray in the Holy Spirit. The Lord did not tell her anything. So she was really good. She started praying and praying. And that day she got to work. It was lunch break, she said. And she was supposed to have a meeting in a building. You know these big hospitals, they got like 10 buildings on the campus. They're just bananas. Johns Hopkins is just, you know, bananas trying to find them. So she said, I usually have lunch over here. And I was supposed to have a meeting in a building over here. And I called my boss. I said, you know, we're working on this project. Let's get together and have the meeting. And the boss said, no, I don't have time, but you can work on it. And Stacy says, you know, I just didn't feel right, like I was supposed to go there and have this meeting. So I decided to stay where I was and just eat my lunch by myself at the desk And she ended up by, all of a sudden, she said, something squeezed in my brain. Something squeezed. It wasn't a headache, just like something actually tore. She said, I could feel something tearing in my head. She turns out she has a, and I don't know the medical term, but it's a brain bleed. And she goes unconscious, just to the floor. Listen, God had been telling her to pray. And Stacy would go, you know, she'd just do the normal. Father, I thank you that you are my Father. You live big in my life. I am destined to do great things for you. I thank you the blood of Jesus surrounds and protects me. And, you know, I can go on. I just keep going. I'll go here and tell you all the good things that happened in her life. But right before she hit the floor, she said, call Clifton. Call my husband. Call my husband. And bam, she was out. She was unconscious. So the rest of the story goes is that Clifton got the phone call. By the way, she had her. She had her husband's phone number in her cell phone by his initials. Listen, when you tell somebody to call your husband, they don't know his initials is CT. She says, "I changed that later." Husband Clifton in her cell phone, and I laugh because I got funny little names for my kids, and you know, rings and stuff like that. So they get hold of him. Turns out they were able to get hold of her daughter, get hold of him, and we had Clifton here. He only spoke the victory. Now, the doctor comes in and does one of these. He goes, "This not looking good." And Clifton only spoke the outcome. And he's a kind of he's a big guy, and he's kind of the real talker, and Stacy's not. And he just would only speak, and he said, thank you very much, doctor. I appreciate the information. And he would pray. 24 hours later, she wakes up, and she said, God, you're so good. I thank you for your life. She just woke up. She didn't even know she was in a coma, and the first words out of her mouth were, victory, victory, victory. And she was off of work for six months. She says, really, I could have gone back in a month, but I had accrued so much time off, I decided to have fun, and I did scrapbooking and stuff like this. I was like, okay. And she's just, I heard her testimony, all the details. But it was very interesting to hear the husband's words when the battle hit. And because he had hid the word in his heart. He didn't let the fear hit him, okay? And it was very interesting when she woke up out of a coma. She just starts spouting off all these great things. God, you're so good. You love me. She didn't even know what happened. And then they finally said, by the way, Stacey, you've been out for 48 hours. You had a brain bleed. We opened up your head. We took care of, you know, you could have, all right. Words. Everybody say words. Words are important. So I'm going to do one more scripture. No, I'm not. We're going to close. Everybody stand up. Hallelujah. You guys look up James chapter 3. It's about the horse and the ship that are turned by such little things. And it's about our words. So we're going to make some declarations. A declaration is words that we declare to be. All right? Now, I want you to just close your eyes. I want you to say these out of your heart. Just repeat after me, okay? Here we go. I wrote a couple. I could probably go for an hour. Here we go. I declare over my life that God's word is true. I declare, I am an overcomer. I declare, I'm the head and not the tail. I'm above and not beneath. I declare I can do all things through God. Oh, God. I declare my body is strong. I declare my body is whole. I declare that my finances turn around. I declare a breakthrough in my finances. I declare my children, my grandchildren are serving the Lord. I declare this in Jesus' name. Amen. If you believe that, let's just give him thanks. Lord, I believe your word is true. Lord, I will say what you say. Lord, I choose to say words that minister life in Jesus' name. All right. It's Sunday. You're blessed. Go home. Have a great day. Amen. All right.